Now, I thought what we would do as we get started is to talk for a moment about the theology of emotion. It's very important that we understand what generates our emotion. And just as there are physical pains that individuals may experience, we may also suffer from emotional pain. And the fact is, most of us would never seek the help of a physician unless we were in some kind of physical pain. And so that means physical pain can be a good thing, right? Why? Because, why? Right, it lets us know that something is wrong and that we need help. Well, emotional pain very often is a symptom. It's not the real problem. That's why, to a large extent, drug therapy is ineffective. With rare exception, drugs are designed to deal with, psychotropic drugs, are designed to deal more with the symptoms than with the causes. And so, often, the real problem is not being treated. So, emotional pain is sort of like a smoke detector, sort of like our body's smoke detector. And I want you to imagine, it's 3:30 in the morning, when all of a sudden, your smoke detector startles you from a sound sleep. Now, how easy is it going to be for you to get back to sleep with that continuous piercing cacophony screaming in your ear? How terrible, you think? The smoke detector has disrupted my sleep. Now, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to take my pillow and wrap it around my head and stick my fingers in my ear so I can get back to sleep, right? No? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach under the bed for the biggest shoe I can find and walk over to the smoke detector and smash it to smithereens, right? You say, that's crazy. Why? Because the problem is not with the smoke detector. The problem is that there's a fire in the house, and the smoke detector will not go off for good unless and until the fire goes out. And that's the way it is to a large extent with our emotions. And so, you know, there may be a time and a place to disconnect the battery so that you are concentrating on putting out the fire. But in the final analysis, the smoke detector is not going to go out until you find the fire and put it out. And so, you know, our emotions are sort of like God's alarm system to let us know that something is wrong. Okay, so, counselors. If the smoke detector in your counselee's life is a habitual pattern of sinful anger, what might be the fire that's in his life? This is track four, right? I'm just teasing. What does it mean when a person, what could be the cause of anger? What is usually the cause, I dare say, of sinful anger? What's the fire in his life? All right, essentially, the counselee may not have submitted his desires to God. There's something he wants, it may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but he wants it so much that he's willing to sin when he's prevented from having it. You know, basically, chances are good that he's guilty of idolatry. He's loving something more than he's loving God. Okay, here's a person who's fearful. The smoke detector in his life is saying, fear, fear, fear. What is the fire, potentially? What might the fire be in the life of someone who's got a problem with fear? What's the antithesis of fear? What's the antidote to fear? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. All right? So, could be the fire in the person's life who is fearful is a lack of love for God and lack of love for man, for neighbor. Here's a person who's lonely. Smoke detector is saying loneliness, loneliness, loneliness. What might the fire be in the life of the person who is lonely? Now again, he could be expecting others to meet his needs rather than God. He could be looking to other people more than to God. You know, is the Lord his portion or is someone else? Does he have his spiritual and emotional and biblical cord plugged directly into the Lord? Or is he looking to, you know, plug his emotional and biblical cord into some other person so they can suck the life out of them? How about anxiety? What might be the defining life of an individual who's struggling with anxiety? Well, it could be that he's not trusting God as he should. Could be that he has a temporal value system. Worldly. Why do I say that? Because the things that tempt us to be anxious are things that last only for time and a season. They're temporary. Could be, again, that he's guilty of some idolatrous desire. Again, one side of the idolatrous desire says inordinate desire for something. And what does the other side of the coin say? Inordinate fear or anxiety over losing that idolatrous desire. Okay, now you all should know this one. The smoke detector is depression. What is the fire in the life of an individual potentially who is depressed? All right, sin. All right, now of course we know there are non-organic causes or factors that contribute to depression at least, and there are organic ones. Now, yes, of course, sin is a big one, but can we break that down? Three most common non-organic causes of depression. First is guilt, right, over any sin that's not been dealt with biblically. Another thing I look for is bitterness, right? It requires spiritual, emotional energy, rather, to maintain a grudge. If I were to run around the campus of this wonderful facility 5 or 6 or 7 times, at some point my physical energy would be depleted and I would be exhausted. Well, it requires emotional energy to maintain a grudge. It requires emotional energy to live with guilt day in and day out. I mean, God didn't intend guilt to be a long-lived thing in our life. It's supposed to be the smoke detector goes off, feel guilty, you put up fire, and you're good to go. So when you live day in and day out with bitterness, with guilt, with worry, worry is another common cause for depression. A lot of people come to counseling, and the presenting problem is depression. And when you shuck everything to the core, you find out they've been worrying for weeks. And you help them deal with the worry, and surprise, their depression starts to lift. But again, it saps your emotional energy to have these things going on in your life on a regular basis. And instead of being physically exhausted when your physical energy is expended, you become emotionally exhausted when your emotional energy is exhausted, and you become depressed. Excessive sorrow. What's the fire in the life of someone whose smoke detector is saying excessive grief? Again, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So certainly we know that there's a time and a place for grief, and grief can be good. But what about excessive sorrow, like the Bible talks about in several places? What might be the fire in the life of that individual? Earthly focus. All right, again, exactly. It may be that the individual loves that which he lost more than he loves God. Jealousy. What might be the fire in the life of someone who is jealous? Well, it could be he's looking to someone else other than God to meet his needs. How about bitterness? Maybe counselee hasn't forgiven someone who's hurt him. Or maybe he's not rightly confronted the person who has offended him, a la Luke 17:3 and Matthew 18:15. All right, so again, the point is, the smoke detector won't go out of our lives and the lives of our counselees until the fire is put out. And so when our counselees experience emotional pain, the solution for them is not to smash the smoke detector, but it's to find out where the fire is and to put it out with your help. Now, a lot of times what the fire is cognition. It has to do with the way the counselee thinks. That's what generates these feelings. His actions generate them, and his thoughts generate them as well. So the Bible reveals a clear connection between our thoughts and our emotions and our thoughts and our actions. Can you think of any scriptures that substantiate that? Bible say anything about our thoughts being related to our feelings? Or actions being related to our feelings? Well, Paul says in Romans 12:1 that we can be totally transformed, totally, and that involves everything, right? By the renewing of our mind. Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with his own way. And although you have to be, you know, careful with the application of this, you can rightly use that passage as an example. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so, as Christians, when